Hello and welcome to the VLP podcast. I'm Jill Brink. I'll be your host today. Today's podcast is from the October Poetry Slam here in Vermilion. The first clip I'm going to share with you is from our guest slammer, Dennis Scholey, and here's just a little bit of what he had to say.
I carve open the hollow between lonely season's breasts with my flint-like nail and extract her trembling heart while she ponders. Silent, watching, pooled tears aglisten in smoky ash eyes, hauntingly beautiful as they fade to death. When I confess the act to authorities, stand before an authority's official's desk, and struggle for words to capture the perfection of Lonely Season's heart, mixed with the blessing of her final tears on my tongue, her blood still weeps from beneath my flint-like nail. The authority's official shuffles papers and extinguishes her spirit lamp, feigns disinterest, and asks why I bring accusation. Because Lonely Season's death sparks no cry of rage, I say. The official smiles a sisterly good smile and proclaims our fortune to live in an age when the crooked line is argued straight, when the foul becomes revered, when the foolish is lauded as brilliant and made law. What of Lonely Season, I say? If Lonely Season could not endure the time, she is best gone. The official gathers papers for her next case and makes ready to ignite her spirit lamp. Still here, she says, shooing me away with her hand, refuse brushed from the high table.
This next clip is from Taylor on what it's like to be a caveman.
Being a caveman is okay. I decided that recently, and it's an assertion I feel compelled to stick to. We all have our little corner to pee in. I'm just the only animal allowed in mine. Yes, it's important to me to know how to start a fire with sticks. So what? We're all cave people with iPods and cell phones anyway, adorning ourselves, battling natural selection. Instinct kicks you in the ribs and says, establish dominance, feed, attract a mate, pair off for the winter. They call that falling in love. No matter what technology can do for us, we're still terrified of each other and of losing the big race. Nature's a cruel beast, but at least instead of wanting to kill anyone, I just want to have sex with everyone. Yeah, every pursuit I make is an exercise in hunting and gathering. I mean, winter's coming. There's no big riddle. I have no hidden agenda. My interests are fighting, eating, sex, and recreation. But when you cast yourself into debt, buying only the finest garments, it's to attract a mate. And when you hear a strange noise outside your window at 2 a.m., it's not togetherness that makes you take a baseball bat along with you. And when women pursue men with lots of money, being a good hunter seems pretty important all of a sudden. So being a caveman is okay. That's what we're doing anyway.
This next clip is from Phil during round two of the slam.
All right, this is called Fly on a Ribbon. The outlets have faces that spark with purple green when the forks are stuck in and you shake and your heart vibrates. Add a little bit of lead and some trees and numb your throat and mouth and sing. It's all in my head as I read out loud to the walls with ears and eyes. A biz buzz and a billion little me's, and look here, I land and stuck on this almost clear yellow ribbon I unraveled the day before, and I lean over myself to have a look, and I'm breathing and struggling all at once. A twitch here, a twitch there, I can't count the years, just like I can't count how many of me are leaning over myself, and I twitch and vibrate just like the child stuck to the fork for the sake of curiosity. The food's piled up, and I open the fridge, and I look on the counter, but still I stick as I look at me eating that toast for a billion times over, and I cry over I, the fly, the fly, the fly, legs flailing as one, two, three are stuck, and I wonder, who am I?
This next poem is by Russell, who was this month's runner-up.
is called It Doesn't Get Better or Smoking Flowers. Does it get any better than this for a guy? A walk across campus in the early fall becomes a stroll through a magical, sensual garden of flowers. Some wear long coats and carry backpacks, while others love the tingle of a brisk wind on bare skin. And so it's a loose-knit sweater, a long skirt, maybe not so long, and summer sandals left over from much warmer days. Oh, to be that wind just a while. To envelop the flowers and make them all sway back and forth. Or to gently blow aside the strands of hair. Long, short, shoulder length, blonde, black, brown, red. Ah, red. To blow aside those fragile strands and mix with the perfume there, or there, or perhaps there. The wind might force the flowers to pick up the pace, step more quickly, flex the graceful muscular tissue in the ankles, calves, and thighs. And then they'll seek shelter by the corner of a building. There are two of them now. I see them there. Two of them, gorgeous, gorgeous. One is dark and mysterious, a double dark blue petunia. Petals fluttering, leaning in to talk to the other one, the lighter one, the bright golden dahlia, who chatters back to the petunia in musical lilting tones, reaches into her pouch, plucks out the desired item, and hands it over. Then cups her hands to block the invasive wind. The two of them there, so lovely, so graceful, either one of them worthy enough for the wind to come and sweep them away in a hearty romantic flourish. But then, wait, what is this? The blocking hands move away. The flowers purse their lips and blow. They have their own wind already. Fascinating. A gray wind, born on the glowing ember ashes, long dead. A putrid, choking kind of wind. Can I get closer to investigate? The flowers here are so beautiful. Damn. Dude. Did it get any better than this?
This next entry was read by Seth.
This one's called Smile. I've been through it again, but for real this time. No one will survive me to be the bully of my psyche. Perhaps I will continue to do just that. But with a I'm my one true critic, ruthless, unforgiving, but with a memory only 3 inches long. I'll chastise my face, then forget, because I know it just doesn't matter. Layer upon layer upon layer of these things pile upon my countenance, my shoulders. They teach me how to grow when I am young. So how it goes is true to the memory inside my head's meat. After something like this, I can only smile and show my broken.
This last poem was read by Spiral Bound Dan for People Organized on Poetry.
In memoriam, people organized on poetry. Remember, poop. People organized on poetry. Promised offerings on a privileged performer's obviously overpriced prizes of official prestige. Purging overtly obfuscating patterns, principled obstinance, obtaining perfection, pledging ourselves, overcoming plagiarism, perpetuating obvious ontological parables. Presumptuous organ ordering promiscuous productivity over organic penmanship, perhaps our overall purpose prevented other occupational pursuits. This day, remember poop, post one obscure passing, Poor old oblivious party. Remember poop this day. Poetry orders our perception.
That will do it for this month's highlights on the Poetry Slam. Next month's slam will be Thursday, November 30th at 7 p.m. in the Coffee Shop Gallery. Our guest speaker will be Lindy Oback. If you have any questions about today's podcast, please email me at jsbrink@usd.edu. Or if you just want to learn more about the VLP, please visit our website at www.usd.edu/ORGS/PROJLIT. From the VLP, this is Jill Brink, and you all have a wonderful week.